I love my local shopping strip. There's just a great mix of shops, Greek cafe, sushi, wood-fired pizza, organic butcher, dry cleaner, Thai, few more cafes, even a computer repair shop. And there's a Woolworths with toilet paper. Lots and lots of toilet paper now. Over the years, I've built some lovely friendships with a number of the shop owners. And some of them actually attended my son Brendan's Thanksgiving service when he was promoted to glory in October 2018. And I've had the opportunity over the years to pray for a number of them, financial issues, family issues, and when they've been sick. Relationships, not seeing people as projects. That's the Lord Jesus' call for all of us. Being in the world, but not of the world, so powerfully portrayed in Jesus' high priestly prayer recorded in John 17. Healing the sick was an integral part of Jesus' ministry. Jesus demonstrated it, and he instructed his disciples multiple times to heal the sick. In the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus commanded all of us to make disciples and teach them all what he had taught the first 11 disciples. Giftedness in healing, of course, clearly varies, but it is a ministry calling, healing the sick on every believer. And you can be sure that when the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray for someone, God will show up. Someone coming to faith is the greatest miracle. It is spiritual healing. Healing the inner hurts that we all carry is emotional healing. And healing ailments of the body is physical healing. And of course, there is often significant overlap. So, how do we pray for the sick? And the simple answer is we minister in love. We are the instrument for a love encounter between the person and the Lord. Whatever the actual outcome of the healing prayers, the sick person should come away knowing that the Lord deeply cares for them and loves them. In fulfilling our earthly destinies as Jesus' disciples, we need to live our lives in what I call the sphere of the Spirit. We talked a bit about this in the first message in the Releasing Spiritual Gifts series. The sphere of the Spirit is a minute-by-minute consciousness of the Lord's presence with us. It's listening to him, often that still small voice, and being prepared to step out in faith as the Spirit prompts. So, if we're harboring, for example, unforgiveness or angst towards others, that's going to seriously restrict hearing the Lord. It will also restrict the flow of God's healing power through us as we pray for others. And on top of that, harboring unforgiveness or judgments against the Lord are probably two of the most common ways that we allow the enemy access into our lives with significant health consequences. I've found in praying for lots of people that unforgiveness is often at the root of their physical or emotional problems. In praying for the sick, the most important thing is sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. He will direct us. And so, in the first place, us as Christians, remember we're little anointed ones, need to get our own stuff in order. So, let me encourage you to take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit if there is anyone you need to forgive. If there is, forgive him or her at once from your heart. You might like to read Matthew 6, 14 to 15. And then ask the Holy Spirit to show you any unconfessed sin in your life. If he does reveal that, then repent sincerely at once and ask the Lord's forgiveness for it. You could refer to Luke 13, verses 2 to 5. And then ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, who sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts, Romans 5:8, to give you his love for each person you pray for. See, whether or not the person is healed on the spot, a loving ministry will impact the sick person for good. Your ministry to the person might be the first time that that person has experienced God's love. Now, I've developed a strong friendship with one shopkeeper in particular. Over a number of years, this friendship has grown. This guy knew that I was a pastor, but I didn't hit him over the head with a Bible. He actually had little or no interest in coming to church. He'd been brought up in one tradition of the church with very formal liturgies. He had never connected with the personal nature of God. And I'd walk into the shop and at the top of his voice, he'd call out with a big smile on his face, "Everyone, stop what you're doing. The Father's here. Time for confession." And then just as loud, he'd say, "You didn't come to our place for dinner, Rod, last Friday." And I'd call back, "You didn't invite me." And he'd respond, "Of course I didn't. Your family." And the people in the shop would look on quizzically like, "What on earth is going on here?" As time went on, I was able to slowly and gently speak into his life. One day as I walked in, he was experiencing a severe back spasm. I asked him if he'd like me to pray for him. I was actually surprised when he said, "Yes." "Oh, Rod, ye of little faith." Anyway, I took him away from the front counters and just asked him simple questions to ascertain where the pain was, how long it had been there, was there any event around the time of getting it. And in asking that question, I'm seeking to understand as to whether it's a straight physical cause or perhaps a trauma or an emotional upheaval that has manifested in the physical state. I asked permission to lay hands on him, and then as the Lord led me, I spoke out what is often called a command prayer. "In the name of Jesus, I command the back spasm to be gone." You see, using the name of Jesus regularly and praying for the sick and taking the authority of Jesus is just so important. So after praying, I would then check, what was the pain level before I prayed? What is it now after I've prayed? And there was some reduction. And so I'd pray again and check. And all the while seeking to hear what the Lord was saying to me. Now, I'd really love to say that the pain dropped instantaneously to zero. But no, there was, however, a noticeable reduction. And I prayed a few times. Friends, it's important to be listening to the Lord and watching the person who's unwell. You will know when to stop the praying. What was very evident was that my friend knew experientially, perhaps for the first time, the love of God. He was touched by God in his inner person. I didn't preach at him. I just told him that the Lord loved him, loved his family, wanted his business to prosper, and I encouraged him to remain open to the Lord. He reported back a few days later that his back was fine. Now, in the years since that prayer encounter, I've prayed for my friend numerous times in the street over a range of matters. Now, his openness to prayer now is so exciting. God is so good, he is so loving, and he's the one with the power. We are simply the vessels through which Yahweh Rapha wants to minister to a hurting and broken world. So here's a few other pointers that are really important to grasp as we pray for the sick. Let's think about physical healing. It can take different routes. It might be instantaneous. It may come gradually in stages as you pray. It may come after repeated times of ministry, or it may not come at all. God is sovereign. He heals when, how, and whom he chooses in his own wisdom. So don't be put off if God does not heal someone you minister to. Our role, our job, if you like, is to pray. God is the one who's responsible for what does or does not happen. So does the sick person need to have faith that God will heal? Well, if the sick person seems to lack faith for healing, don't let that put you off. I mean, of course, faith helps, but sometimes God heals sick people who don't believe he can or will heal them. And guess what? And sometimes when the one who prays does not have much faith either. In the example that I just gave, there was a flow in the interaction. So when you're thinking about praying for the sick, think of flowing with the Holy Spirit, not some strict, rigid methodology. So in that illustration, I got some information from the person who had the problem. I sought the Lord on what was happening and how I should pray. Then I prayed. I checked on how things were going and prayed again. And I concluded with some post-prayer words. In this case, the Lord loves you. Stay open to him. There are many ways we can pray for those who need healing. So I'm going to outline today just one approach. It's called the five-step prayer model. We actually see it used sometimes by Jesus, and it's in our reading from Mark 9 today, but not always. And that tells us not to be slavish to just one way. But there is a flow in this model, and I found it really helpful in many different situations. So stay open to how the Lord wants you to minister. God will not be forced into a box. This is just one approach. See, the issue is not the model. It is people encountering the healer. The five-step prayer model is a loving way to minister to the sick and can be used by anyone. Here are the five steps. 1, interview. 2, diagnosis. 3, prayer selection and prayer. 4, feedback. 5, post-prayer suggestions. So let's talk a little bit about those five steps. The first one, interview. In the interview, you're just simply seeking to find out what's wrong. In our reading from Mark 9, in verse 16, Jesus asks the disciples what they're arguing about. In the interviewing stage, you're listening in two realms, in the natural realm and the supernatural realm. So in the natural realm, you want to establish pertinent facts, but don't go overboard. So it might be questions like, how long have you had the condition? Have you seen a doctor? What did the doctor say? Importantly, ask, do you remember what was happening in your life when this condition began? And importantly, ask, did anything traumatic happen to you about the time your condition began or within a few months prior to it starting? The answer to those last two questions are really significant in how we end up praying for the person. Invite the Holy Spirit to give you more insight. This is the supernatural realm. The Spirit might give you a word of knowledge or discerning of spirits. Now remember, it's not a medical interview, just some basic information and revelation from the Lord. Be gentle, be attentive. Whether the person is healed or not, it's important that they leave feeling loved because of their interaction with you. So just some points on the first step, interview. Second step, diagnosis. You need to discern as to whether the condition is a cause, that is it the root, or is it a symptom, if you like, the fruit of the condition? Cause or symptom? It is really important to get to the root. It might be a physical problem. It might be a sin problem, an emotional problem, or a demonic bondage, or indeed it could be some combination of these. In Mark 9, 21 to 23, Jesus asks how long the boy has been suffering from convulsions because of the presence of an impure spirit. You know, when I'm unwell, over the years, I've developed the discipline of asking the Father this question. It's a really simple one. Father, is it physical or spiritual? That is the sickness just part of being in a fallen world, or is it an attack of the enemy? So if I get yes from the Lord to it being spiritual, then I ask a follow-up question. Have I given ground to the enemy, or is it afflicting? That is, have I allowed Satan some rights through holding on to something or doing something that's not of the kingdom of God? Sometimes it's just simply an opportunistic attack by the kingdom of darkness because it's a war zone. But in my life, here's a little statistic. At least 80% of the time, it's spiritual. Holding on to something that's not of the Lord, and wham, the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10, has inflicted some damage. So step two, the diagnosis, is the most important step. We want our prayers to be properly targeted. So interview, diagnosis, step three, prayer selection and prayer. You need to select the most appropriate kind of prayer given what you've just discovered. So in Mark 9:25, Jesus uses a prayer of deliverance, commanding the unclean spirit to be gone. So what should we do? We should ask the Holy Spirit to reveal whether the prayer should be a petition prayer. What's a petition prayer? It's a request to the Lord to heal. It might be something like this. Father, release your power to heal in Anne's body in the name of Jesus. Or come, Holy Spirit, release your power. Touch Peter's painful spine in Jesus' name. That's a petition prayer. Or we might be directed with a command prayer. It's a command addressed to a condition of the body or part of the body or to a troubling spirit, such as a spirit of pain or infirmity or of affliction. So examples would be something like this. In the name of Jesus, I command all pain and swelling to leave this wrist. Or in Jesus' name, I command every afflicting spirit to come off Betty's body. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Elisha gives what I would call a command instruction. Clearly, the Lord had told Elisha what to do. So in 2 Kings 5 verse 10, we read, Elisha sent a message to say to Nahum, go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. I often find that Christians are a bit uncomfortable in speaking command prayers. So remember, we're not commanding God, we're not addressing God, we are commanding the condition to be gone in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when would we use a command prayer? Well, first up, unless otherwise led by the Holy Spirit. We'd use it when there has been a word of knowledge for healing or some other indication that God wants to heal a person at this time. We'd use it when petition prayers have been tried and progress has stopped. We'd use it to cast out an afflicting spirit. We'd use it when a curse or a vow needs to be broken. Indeed, we'd use it whenever we're led by the Holy Spirit to make such a command. So, having selected the appropriate type of prayer, it's time to pray. Keep front and center that it is God the Holy Spirit who releases healing power through you to the suffering person. So out loud, ask the Holy Spirit to come. And if it's clear from the interview and or being revealed by the Holy Spirit that there's unforgiveness, then it's really important to deal with that before the Lord. If forgiveness is unresolved, it can be an obstacle to healing. Forgiveness might be to a person who has caused the affliction, or the person themselves, or to God if judgments are held against the Lord. So deal with forgiveness if necessary before praying for healing. If it appears that the condition has been brought on by sin, that might have come out of the interview or by a word of knowledge, then very gently, encourage the person to bring it before the Lord for cleansing. And that really requires a lot of pastoral sensitivity. Tell the person being prayed for that you're going to be silent for a few minutes while you are listening to the Lord. And encourage the person just to relax and to communicate to you if anything begins to happen, whether they feel heat or cold, a tingling, electricity, a change in location of the pain. I recall praying for a believer suffering with cancer. I had the person read from James 5 and check if anything needed to be sorted before the Lord. I didn't need to hear if there was anything. And then as I started to pray with my hand slightly above their head, there was this furnace-type heat that radiated out from my hand and into them. So if the presence of the Holy Spirit becomes evidence, continue waiting on the Holy Spirit until he finishes what he wishes to do at that time. If healing's not complete, continue to minister, and always in the name of Jesus. Speak to the cause of the affliction, not simply the symptoms, and be thanking the Lord for what he's doing as you go along, not just at the end of the prayer time. Pray with your eyes open, so that we're tuned into signs that God is at work, and persevere in prayer. And when there's no progress, ask the Holy Spirit for a new strategy. So interview, diagnosis, prayer selection and prayer. Fourthly, feedback. This is just a check on how things are going. In Mark 9, the crowd thought that the boy had died, but Jesus actually took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. If after the first three steps there's no progress, consider interviewing the person again. Maybe check on whether there's a similar condition in the family that might suggest a generational spirit. Check for fear. It can cause many physical and spiritual problems and sometimes interfere with healing. Check for any involvement of the person, including their family, in occult or secret societies. Check for any known curses that have been spoken over the person or the family. And if during the prayer the person reports the pain has moved or become greater, it signals the likely presence of an afflicting spirit. Simply command it to be gone in Jesus' name. Physical problems are not infrequently linked to the need for emotional healing from past hurts and wounds, and causes are just so many. A traumatic event or events, abuse, rejection, abandonment, and on and on. This is just a big subject area in itself. Now, please note that if the person is taking medication for their condition, they should continue to take it, even if they believe they've been healed, until they consult their doctor. So when should we stop praying? Well, when the person's completely healed, if they want it stopped, if the Holy Spirit says stop, or if you're not making progress and no other way to pray is given to you. Now, the final step is post-prayer suggestions. Let's take the case if the person you're praying for is not a believer, then just simply encourage them about the Lord's love for them. and your availability to pray again if that's what they want. When you've been praying for a believer, encourage them to continue walking with the Lord. Encourage them to make any lifestyle adjustments that are needed, and that's relatively common where adjustments do need to be made. If the person is not healed, make absolutely no inference of lack of faith or sin as being the cause. That is so important. No inference of lack of faith or sin as being the cause. If there's little or no healing, encourage the person to continue to seek healing prayer. And if they experience spiritual attack afterwards, and that often happens, encourage them to stand against Satan and command any recurring symptoms to be gone. In that Mark 9 example, this last step is actually directed to the disciples. Jesus says to the disciples, this kind, speaking of the unclean spirit, can only come out through fasting and prayer. So, a word as I wrap up. Don't trust the prayer model more than actively seeking the Holy Spirit's voice. Think of a flow. Flowing with the Lord and being a vessel of God's love. Don't get caught up in rigid methodology, but the steps that we've outlined are often very helpful. I invite you to join with me in prayer. Dear Yahweh Rapha, you are the Lord who heals. And Lord, you bring the greatest healing with spiritual healing as we turn to the Lord Jesus and we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son whom you love. Lord, we thank you that you desire complete healing in our areas of both our emotions and physical afflictions. Lord, we recognize that we live in a very broken and fallen world, and ultimately that full healing comes in your presence and with the resurrection. But Lord, we also know from Scripture and your instructions to us that you desire to bring healing in this life, to touch people with your love and power as evidence of the kingdom of God that has come. Yes, it's still to come in its fullness, but that the kingdom of God has come now. So Lord, I pray in my life and the life of all of those that are listening to this message that we'd simply respond in faith to your instruction to heal the sick. We recognize we will have many questions, there'll be many unanswered questions, but Lord, help us to step out in faith. Help us to step out in love. Help us to step out with great sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and simply be available vessels for you to bring your healing, powerful love into people's lives. We ask this in the name of and for the sake of our great Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.